Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. He is glorious. He is marvelous. He is magnificent. He is a way maker. He is a deliverer. I know him to be a healer. He is a friend to those that don't have a friend. He is a comforter when you feel like you need an extra hug. He is a protector. He is the I am that I am. He is whatever you need him to be. He is our present help in the time of trouble. I dare you to call on his name. Hallelujah, and watch what happens. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in to a study in the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, today we're going to talk about the heart and whether or not you have a deceitful heart. Now, I don't want you to answer just yet. I want you to think of the last conversation that you had. Did the person left feeling uplifted or distraught and destroyed? What do I mean? Did the words that you said to that person or persons edify their spirit and their soul, or did it just left them feeling perplexed, hurt, baffled? Matthew 12:34 says, and I'm going to read the second part because it says, out of the abundance, out of the mouth, speaks the abundance of the heart. Have you ever had this happen to you? Someone said, spoke something negative about you in the conversation and said, oh, I was just kidding. That's not true. The person spoke what was in his or her heart. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And then the first part of Matthew 12:34, Jesus was like, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you're evil? How can you? Because whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. So before you answer the question again, do you have a deceitful heart? Let's define some terms. Deceitfulness is an adjective, and it's an adjective that describes a person. So if you're deceitful, you're not honest. You're misleading. You give false impressions. We used to call them two-faced. Depending on which face you're looking at, they're truthful. And then the other side, they're not truthful, but they pretend to be truthful. And then wickedness, a noun that says the quality of being evil or morally wrong. Evil or morally wrong. Evil or morally wrong. So I'm basing all of this. Someone was like, well, where are you getting this? You know, the scripture is full of nuggets. It's full of information to tell us how to live a healthy, successful, prosperous life on this side of heaven. And this is based on Jeremiah 17 and 9 that says the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, there are two people. God knows, because he knows the heart of all man. And you may know it, and then you may know it and suppress it so that you act as if you do not know what is going on. So when the Lord says that the heart is deceitfully wicked, he wasn't talking about something that just happened. He knows that we, as when I say we Christians, because we're not talking about the people in the world. They know where they stand. They know that they scheme and they plot to get what they need, when they need, and how they need it. But as Christians, we are held to a higher standard. Why? Because the Bible says, be ye holy as Christ is holy. So if we're holy, we're walking in uprightness. We're walking in moral values. We're not pretending to have a form of godliness. But it stems from what's in the heart. So the thing about the Word of God is any situation that you're facing or will face, it's already happened. There is nothing new under the sun. And we find that in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. But when we look at the wickedness of man, we can go to Genesis. And I am going to start at Genesis, the sixth chapter. I'm going to start at verse 1. And it says, now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. They took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness, here's our key verse. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of the men, of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, and if you've got your Bible, underline the word heart, was only evil continually. So underline heart. Underline continuously. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, creeping thing, and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Picture this. God says, I saw their heart. I saw what they're doing. And it is just continuously, continuously wicked. So he says, because of this. And let me talk about wickedness. Wickedness is the act, the intent, the role that you play, your desire. And the desire was always the same outcome, always thinking evil, always nothing can get better. And I just want to look at this a little bit more in depth, just because it really embodies the heart. But don't you know that whatever's in your heart becomes a thought? So if your desire is, and I'm just going to use this, to eat ice cream, butter pecan is my favorite, and it's in your heart, you know, I need to get some butter pecan. That heart, that thought in the heart goes to the thought in the mind. So the inclinations of the thoughts of the human heart was always evil, always, not sometime. It was continuously evil. Nothing good. And so God says the only way to deal with this is to go ahead and destroy. So I want to talk about the heart itself, the physiological and anatomy of the heart. The heart is an organ in the body, as we already know, that is really the central of life. You can have brain damage, but as long as your heart is still functioning, your body is still functioning, minus the brain, you're still alive. But once the heart stops, everything ceases. So the heart is vital to our existence. The heart is where a person thinks. And we already glimpsed that in Genesis 6. So the heart of the people were always evil, constantly thinking evil. But inside the heart are chambers. So I wanted to get you the natural so that we can look at this on a spiritual level. So think of these chambers. The chambers where blood flows in, blood flows out. Also, there are people who have heart issues. So they either have a hole in the heart or they've had surgery and they have scarring of the heart. Keep that picture in mind. So let's look at the heart in a spiritual sense. Things that may have caused you pain and you hurt or have caused hurt in your life, unless you release it, it's stored in your heart. And just think, if you're constantly being hurt, or you're being rejected, you're being mistreated, it builds till it becomes that you become angry. And instead of pleasant words coming out of your mouth, harshness comes out, anger comes out. People say, well, that's not really her character. Well, it is today. Why? Because of what's in your heart. There's something in your heart that's preventing you from really just being who God has created you to be. I want to look at Deuteronomy 6 and 5. 6 and 5. You can flip with me. I love Sunday fellowship. I love studying the word where we really truly get to search the scriptures. So Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says, love, and I'm going to read the NIV version, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. But here's the problem. It's hard to love when you're hurt. There's a saying that says hurt people, and that is true. You can't give someone all your love if you're hurt. And before I ask you to answer that question, Do you have a deceitful heart? Because, you know, let's just look at this realistically. If you've got things hidden in your heart, the only thing that we should have hidden in our heart is the Word of God. Let the Word of God be hidden in your heart. But sometimes out of embarrassment, you hide things. Someone may have said something to you that devastated you, but instead of confronting that person, because the Bible says if you believe a person has an ought against you, if you believe someone has said something to offend you, then you are to take that person, go to that person first before you take him before the church, but go to that person and say, hey, look, you said this, and I was hurt by it. Can you clarify what you meant? And sometimes it's something so simple as you heard green, they meant purple, and it came out lavender, which is a form of purple. But the bottom line was this. Sometimes we hear what was not spoken. And then sometimes they did say exactly what you heard, exactly what they spoke. But you deal with it, and then you move forward. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says this, and we're going to come back to that thought I just had. When it talks about the love, to love our Lord with all our heart, to love the Lord with all our heart, to love the Lord with all our heart, it's imperative that we have a pure heart. You can't come to God any kind of way, because guess what? Nothing takes him by surprise. He knows exactly what you're thinking. That's why he says, before you even ask in prayer, I already answered, because I already know what you're going to say. And isn't that like our Heavenly Father, who knows everything about us? And so why and how can we pretend that all is well when we know good and well that it's not? So it goes back to why can't we just put our burdens on the altar? Why can't we just say, God, so-and-so hurt me, and just leave it there? Because we have things hidden in our heart. We don't want to admit that so-and-so has hurt me. So that's why when they talk about what comes out of your mouth speaks what's going on in your heart, you can find out a whole lot about a person's condition by what they say, because the heart is the seat of emotions, a seat of our feelings, our sentiments. Whether we're happy, you'll know if we're sad, if there's jealousy, if there's an ambition, you know, the heart frames our total attitude, whether we're willingness, whether we're courageous, whether we desire something. So how is that heart? And we're going to look at the different types of heart in a second, but I want to go back to, I love scriptures, because wise is studying the word. And we should have scriptures. The heart also lets you know the state of that person. If you look at Matthew 6 and 21, Matthew 6 and 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? What is that thing that you hold dear to you? Are you holding on to unforgiveness? Are you holding on to malice? Are you holding on to jealousy? I can use myself an example, because who knows me better than me? I was in a group with some others, and there was a need for some things we were trying to do with the group. And I took it upon myself. I'm not going to say I asked God, because I did not. And I said, you know what, I'll do so-and-so. And the person was like, well, we'll reimburse you. Okay, cool. When it came time for reimbursement, that individual was nowhere to be found. Can we say nowhere to be found? And then had the audacity to have an attitude with me. And I, for the life of me, I was floored because I did it under good intentions. I didn't do it for a name. I didn't do it for fame. I saw a need, and I said, I will not do this in my household so that God will get the glory. God will get the glory, and we'll be what we said we would be. And when this individual says, you know, we're not going to pay you back, just take it as sowing into the ministry. And I said to myself, the devil is a liar. I didn't say anything about sowing. I said I would help out. So give me my money. Show me the money. And because I was so angry, I was, one, hurt. What do you mean you're not giving me my money back? Two, in a panic. I got things. I got real bills I got to pay. I was just helping you out, you know, until you said you're going to pay me such and such a date. So I kind of robbed Peter to pay Paul to balance things in my household. And now you're telling me my money, you're going to donate my money to the ministry? No, the devil is a liar. And then it went from being angry, being fearful, to being downright, gosh, I can't even find a term that means deeper than angry. I was enraged. I was enraged. My money, and you're going to say how you're going to spend my money? And so I was just so livid, and I was crying out to God. I'm like, God, Elijah, call down fire from heaven. And, Lord, I'm trying not to call down fire from heaven. And I just kept going on and on, talking like 50 miles an hour because I was just so through. And then I thought about what I'm going to do to this individual when I see them, because I was going to make it a point to find this individual. And in that split second when I was quiet, because one, I didn't cry enough, and I was looking for some tissue to blow my nose, and the Lord says, let it go. You didn't ask me. You did it on your own. And I'm like, what? What do you mean, let it go? I got bills. I got things to do. I took it from my household. And the Lord took me to Proverbs 3 and 5, which is a scripture. 3 and 5, we know quite well, and it says, let me just read it from the NIV. I'm NIV today. I love the King James, but I'm NIV today. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And then verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So I said, okay, God, you're right. I didn't ask. I just assumed that you would say yes. And so it was a very costly mistake on my part. But God wasn't done with me. Because we're talking about issues of the heart. He says, keep reading. And I'm like, okay, no problem. And 7 and 8 says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart evil. And I'm like, hold up, God. What do you mean? What do you mean don't be wise in my own eyes? I wasn't trying to be wise. I just took it upon myself that it was okay because I was doing it in the name of the Lord. And he says, keep reading. I'm like, okay, Lord. It says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And at that point, I could have hit the floor, literally, because I got it. I created this now bigger problem that could have been no problem had I just asked God.
because I went through the whole thing of, God, I'm not trusting nobody else. I'm not doing anything else. And you always say, guard your heart, guard your heart. That's all I kept hearing, guard your heart. And I was thinking, guard my heart from hurt of the unsaved. I didn't think about being hurt by the saved. And it's you find that in Proverbs 4 and 23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So whatever you do comes from the heart. And I said, God, okay, I messed up big time. You always tell me to hide your word in my heart. And then also, I love the scripture that says, let your heart retain the words of the Lord. And I'm just paraphrasing. You know, we're asking for his word to be inscribed in our heart. Then therefore, his word must be retained in my heart. So I said, God, I'm a mess right now, because nowhere possible do I feel like I can even pray for anyone, because my heart still aches, even though I read in your word and I hear you tell me to let it go. But I can't let it go. I've let it go with my words, but my actions still aren't there. My heart is still tugging. Every time I think of the situation, my heart tugs, because I am so hurt. I am so devastated. I just can't believe that this individual would have allowed this, you know, that the individual would do this to me. And God says, no, it's not the individual. You allowed it to happen. You did not come to me. So at that point, my heart wasn't deceitful, but I don't know. I hate to say the other person's heart was deceitful, because they knew they weren't going to pay me back anyway. They were just trying to enlarge their territory at any expense. And so now I needed God to perform a miracle in my heart. Remember I told you the heart has chambers, and things can hide in the chambers. You get bacteria in the chambers that would cause an infection. Well, my heart at this point was infected. I needed him to fix it. I couldn't fix it, but I know God could. And so I started crying out. Psalm 51 became my go-to scripture for this. Started with just the beginning. I said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin, because I had committed sin. How did you commit sin? I became wise in my own eyes. I didn't consult God. And some people say, you don't need to talk to God for everything. Some things are just common sense. That may work for you. But can I be honest with you? If the Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, that means he's ordering our footsteps. Therefore, I should ask him, because his word says, ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things. I'm not looking for great and mighty things, but it's nice. What I'm looking for is how to live on this side of heaven in peace, in harmony, because the Bible says, be at peace with all men. If possible, be at peace with all men. I want to make it possible. So I said, God, you got to do something. Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy. I had to cry out. And then I skipped a bunch of scriptures, and then I went straight down to 7. Psalm 51 and 7, it says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, because joy was gone. Gladness was gone. I was fearful. I was angry. There was now hate in my heart for this individual, hate for the organization. God, I thought of, you know, I thought of ways how I can just destroy them. That is not God. God says, vengeance belongs unto me. He says, I will fight your battle. But now I had taken all of this upon myself. I had taken in the weight of the world. I have allowed something that could have been avoided to become something so great. I needed God to fix me because I was so out of control. I couldn't do it. So I needed God to cleanse me. I needed my joy to come back. And then in verse 9 it says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. But what I had to repeat besides verse 1 and 2, I had to repeat verse 10 every day, sometimes several times a day for weeks, until I felt a release in my heart. Psalm 51 and 10 says, create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. See, I didn't want God to just take that hurt, take that malice, hallelujah, out of my heart. But I needed God to sustain me in the sense that when I saw this individual again, I wasn't tripping. I wasn't getting upset. I wasn't saying, how could you? I wanted my relationship to be pure. I didn't want to be deceitful. And I didn't want to be two-faced. I didn't want to see you and pretend, smile, kiss me on the cheek, like Judas did to Jesus, kiss him on the cheek and then turn around and had him killed. I didn't want that. I wanted to be pure. I wanted to be genuine. So I needed God to fix my heart so that I can truly say that my heart was not deceitful, that there was no wickedness in me. Amen. That I can tell God in Psalm 26 and 2, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Because when God can do that, when you can say, God, look, test me, try me, examine my heart. That's because daily, we put ourselves on the potter's wheel. Why? Because we need to present ourselves a living sacrifice before the Lord, holy and acceptable in his sight. We don't want to be that deceitful and that evil that God looked around and said, look, I can't take it. Every time I turn around, your thoughts are always, always evil. Evil is embedded in your heart. So I wanted my relationship with God, because if you can't love man, you definitely can't love God. How could you love a person? How can you love a person you haven't seen and cannot see, but can't love a person that you see? So I needed him to fix my heart. That's why I can say he's a heart regulator. He is a heart transplant surgeon, because that's what he had to do. He needed to chip away at the hurt. He needed to chisel out deep down in the core, hallelujah, Jesus, how I felt, the anger I felt. He needed to go in and do what was impossible with man, but not impossible with him. So when we're looking at the heart, we want to make sure that our heart is pure. So if your heart is pure, then you can say, no, I don't have a deceitful heart. But if you've not allowed God to examine you, if you've not put yourself on a potter's wheel, if you've not said, Lord, stretch me, pull me, do what you need to do in me, God, that you will get the glory. that anything and everything that's in me that's not of you must be removed. When you can get to that part, when you can get to that point in your life, then you know without a shadow of a doubt your heart is not full of deceit. There may be some things that have grown in there that God needs to chisel out. But we know where our heart issues stand. Matthew 5 and 8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You can't say, I remember singing this song in church, I'm on my way to heaven. But how you going to be on your way to heaven when you got strife in your heart, evil in your heart? You can't love ye one another. You can't even love your neighbor. If you don't deal with the issues of your heart, then you will have hardness of heart. Turn with me to, Mark, I believe it's the 6th verse. Let's talk about that hardened heart, that stony heart, that heart that you really got to chisel. They come in the room and it's like, ooh, it's cold. Yeah, it's cold because your heart is cold. Mark 6 and 5. Let's start with Mark 3 and starting at verse 1. And it says, he entered the synagogue, and he, that's Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, and I used to say, well, God, why are you angry? He said to, let me read verse 5 again. It says, and when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by their hardness of their hearts, underline hardness of the heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as a whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So here's the deal. When your heart is hardened, you can't see any good. You have like a tunnel vision. You're stuck in your ways. And that was the Pharisees. They were stuck by the law. They couldn't see that it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, as long as God is glorified. They missed it. So they wanted to see what he was going to do. And it says he entered the synagogue again. So that means he was there before. Jesus was there before. And he told them earlier that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. They picked and choose what they would follow and really put people in bondage. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So he was putting them, the Pharisees, back into bondage, and Jesus was just trying to free the man. Go with me to Mark 6 and 52. I want you to look at this verse. It says, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. God had done, Jesus had done so many miracles, and they saw it. They may or may not believe it, but they could not conceive that he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So when he does another miracle, they're still in disbelief. And it's like, how can you believe when your heart is full of things that are not of the kingdom? Glory to God. Sometimes God needs to come in and circumcise our heart. What does that mean? It means take out those things that are in there that should not be. God wants us to give our heart to him so that he can fix it. We can't. You know what? To say, oh, I can fix this, no problem. No, you can't. Because if you can fix it, then your heart would not have been hardened. And I want to, and I told you to underline the hardening of the heart, because here is the deal. If your heart is hardened, that means there was a building of layers. So it may have started with hurt, may have started with disappointment. So you've got hurt. Now add on to that layer of disappointment, add on to that layer of rejection, add on to that layer mistreatment, add on to that layer you've been robbed spiritually, add on to that layer of neglect. You feel like you're neglected by the church. You feel like they're double standard. So now you've got all of this and padded down. Now you've got a heap that should have just been a single layer of tissue. And as you're building, 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 it's hard to let go. So that's why when the Lord said, harden not your heart, let it go. Guard your heart, yes, so that you're not hardening your heart. Glory to God. I'm pausing right now because I'm stuck right here. He won't let me move on. Harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Don't let your heart, don't let the cares of this world consume you. Hebrews 3:5 says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in rebellion. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. God desires us to cast all our cares upon him so that those things, those issues that we are facing, it won't weigh us down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just waiting on him. He's hallelujah. You know, Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. We have scriptures and scriptures and scriptures to really guide us, to undergird us when we are in trouble. John 14 And one says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you are also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Hallelujah. Trust God. Trust God. So I'm going to close with this. If you think you have deceit or deceitful heart, give it to God, because he cares for you. He cares for you. Psalm 55 and 22 says, and I'm going to read from the King James verse. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And the Message Bible says, pile your troubles on God's shoulder. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruins. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for those that hear what you're saying today. Glory to God. Father, you always make a way of escape. Father, for those whose heart are troubled, those that just don't know how to make a way out, we know that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are life. God, I ask right now that you would touch hearts, oh God, those whose heart are pained, those whose heart are heavenly laden, those whose heart is full of burden, those heart, God, that have unforgiveness, those heart who have been rejected, so many times, God, those who have things hidden in the heart that are so painful, God, from childhood, oh God, things that have happened to them even in their latter years, God, I ask right now that you would touch heart, oh God. You are the heart surgeon, oh God. Go into the deep crevice of their heart, God. Go into every chamber, God. Root out those things that you did not plant, God. Every seed, oh God, that was planted, oh God, by words that were spoken out of hatred, words that were spoken out of jealousy, words that were spoken out of hurt. God, I ask that you would root it all out in the name of Jesus. You said, Lord God, that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you came that they would have life and that more abundantly. So, Father, I ask that you would touch them right now in the name of Jesus. God, give them what they stand in need of, oh God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Help them, oh God, that they will see that they can trust you with their whole heart, God. Your desire, hallelujah, Jesus, is to get them in an area of plenty, oh God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, God. Father, I thank you right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you, for I know that there is nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for you. You are a way maker. You are a promise keeper. If you said it, you will bring it to pass, because you're not a respecter of person, God. You've claimed my heart, God. You changed my heart, God. Hallelujah. You gave me a new heart, a heart, oh God, that was full of love, a heart that's full of compassion. So, Father, Give them a heart of truth. Give them a heart of compassion in the name of Jesus, oh God. Give them a forgiven heart, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, you said in Proverbs 23 and 26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my way. So, Father, we thank you right now, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus, for them giving their heart unto you. Hallelujah, God, that their every thought, oh God, would be that of pureness, oh God, of holiness, oh God, of righteousness. Oh, Father, we thank you right now, God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Father, we thank you right now that your word is forever hidden in their heart, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give them a heart, Lord. You said David was a man after your own heart. So, Father, give them a heart after you, a heart that is thirsty and hungry for righteousness, a heart that is quick to repent, hallelujah, when they know they have done something wrong. God, even repenting, God, when they know they've not done anything wrong but took the wrong so that it would seem right in the other person's eye, so that everyone could live in peace and that they would be harmony. Oh, Father, we bless your name, God. We thank you, Lord God. We praise you, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I don't want to leave this line without opening the doors, hallelujah, of your heart. Hallelujah. And this is just a small teaching I did on a series from a book that I that's written by yours truly that says Open the Gates of My Heart. And if you're interested in the book, if you're interested in us praying with you, give us a call at our ministry office at 985-788-7530. Again, 985-788-7530. We're always here to pray with you and to pray for you. There is strength in numbers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And we know that there is nothing too hard for God. And let me just tell you that the best gift that you can have is the gift of salvation. So if you don't know who God is, I invite you to let him come into your heart. Glory to God. He is waiting on you. He's waiting for you to say, come to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, you may say, well, you know, you don't know what I am. You don't know what all I've done. You just don't know. No, I don't, but God does. And I love Romans 8 and 28 that says, and we know that all things, that in all things, that everything, God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You have been called. You have been chosen. Why? Because we're all made by him, for him. So he called you. He knew what, he's the author and the finisher of your faith, and he knew what you would face. He knew what you would be going through. But come to Jesus. We used to sing this song, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. He's able. He's willing. He wants you. He really wants you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And I'm going to close on this. 1 John 1 and 9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. And the good news says God is faithful and reliable. If we confess our sins, he forgives them and cleanses us from everything we've done wrong. Who would not serve a God like this? You can mess up, and guess what? He is able to brush you off, pick you up, brush you off, just like nothing has happened. He's the true and living God. He is who we serve. So if you're ready to give your life to Christ, and I'm not asking anyone to join the church, let's get that straight. We don't know where death is. We don't even know when he's coming back, but the one thing we know, the only way to get into heaven is through him. So, again, call our ministry line at 985-788-7530. That's 985-788-7530. You can also find me on Facebook and inbox your prayer request at Apostle Siobhan. Join our services on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 at City Church. And maybe you don't want to or are unable to attend church. Follow us online, Instagram, Facebook Live, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube under Apostle Siobhan Simmons, or Tamaya Deliverance Ministries, or Flames of Fire Deliverance Church. Either one of those, you will find words of encouragement. But until the next time, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.